Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me,
how I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as I go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can grow, Father. Grow in faith and trust. Grow in thy word so that we can reach out and help others and to be able to do the work that you would call upon us to do. And grow in our love to you and to the Lord Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all you've done for us. And we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done. And the Holy Spirit for bringing to us all that you have for us and being with us to give us comfort, joy, and peace. And as our guide, now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this study this morning. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 8th chapter of Acts. Yesterday, we spent seeing Stephen martyred, being stoned to death, and what kind of man he really was, and how strong in the Lord he was, even at the end of his life and days. And he was not killed in an easy way either, or a quick way. He was stoned to death. And we know, you know, that we ended up in that chapter 7, with his death. And the last two verses really shows us of his strength. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The last verse. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Right up to the end, he was still for those that was even doing him wrong and asking God not to lay that sin to their charge. Now, still wanting to see them make Jesus theirs. Think about that. They don't have to do very much against us today for man to really get upset with him today. Let alone take stones and throw at you until you finally die from it. Now, as we get into 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of the regions of Judah and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison before they that were scattered abroad, whenever were preaching the word. You see, he was strictly against the Lord Jesus Christ also, and against the church, bringing them back, both men and women, to jail and to be killed. Now, when we look at those verses, we see that the earlier persecutions of chapter 4 and 5 actually involved persecutions of the Christian leaders and the apostles by the Jewish leaders, primarily the priests. You see, it was primarily the priests that were behind all of this. This persecution is much more severe since it involves the lay people and since it comes from the unrelenting hands of Saul. Yet God's work prospers in that the gospel is widely spread outside of Jerusalem. We get into 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You see, even with all this going on and these people being stoned to death, heads cut off and everything else, they still didn't back up. They kept right on going. 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, those gifts of miracles and all has a drawing effect. Pardon me. To bring people in. But it takes the sharing of the word of God in order to get their mind and heart right for them to know that they need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and make him their own. Now, my unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed of them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. You see, and you'd be surprised today how many people you actually know and talk with every now and then actually would have an unclean spirit in them. Because when they don't serve the Lord God, there's something holding and keeping them away. Now, and most likely it would be an unclean spirit. But they are those that even their own minds and their own heart is unclean. And they are still out here in this world serving the things of the world, wanting and lusting for the things of the world instead of wanting the things and searching and seeking for the things of the kingdom of Almighty God. And they will put everything they can find to keep them away from the people of God, keep them away from the church, or anything that has to do with the teaching of God's word. Now, said and let it snow, all the things there that had been healed. Hey, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. You see, he had become a witch. That's what sorcery is. 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. You see, they were looking to him and actually worshiping him and looking at him as if he was a great man of God. And this is what he was after, and yet he was a witch. Now, 11. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now, 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You see, when they really believed what Philip and them were preaching, then they turned. A lot of them turned. They became believers and were baptized. Then Simon himself, now this one that is a witch, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, I don't know how many of you has ever really seen what the unclean spirits can do and cause or not. But I have. I lived in two places to where witchcraft was about the main thing in those communities. One was in Tompkinsville, Kentucky. That whole area was filled with witchcraft. And I'm talking about witchcraft that was actually a working witchcraft. Wasn't just something spoken. It was witchcraft to where Satan was working things through and with people that was making a lot of people believe in things they should not have been believing in. And then the other place where I lived that had it going on was in what they call West Point, Kentucky, which is not too far, actually, from where I live right now. And it was actually young boys. And I'm talking about young boys, 11, 12 years old. One's mother found him even in the closet where he had hung himself. She found him before he was dead. I had another one run from his house. He only lived a few houses from me. He'd been out in the backyard messing around with this witchcraft and all. And he seen the ground open up, and he looked right down through a hole there. And as he said, he could see into hell. He come screaming. He was about 11 years old at the time. And I got a hold of him, caught him, got a hold of him. We got rid of that. We never got back into that again. I had Bible study and Bible reading in my home every night there for my family. But I had told all of the boys, because I had a young son too, and I told all the boys, any of them that wanted to come, they were welcome. They could come. Well, one night, they had gotten together, several of them, and they decided they was going to come and break up my Bible study. And they come in the house. I got started with my study, and this one, he went to carrying on and all, trying to stop the Bible study. I walked over to where he was, put my hand on his forehead. I said, in Jesus' name, peace be still. He went to crying and a hollering. Brother Tony, take your hands off me. You're burning me up. You're burning me up. You're burning me up. That was the last of him and his witchcraft, too. Now, there were several of those boys that the school wouldn't even let them in because of their witchcraft. But they all ended up getting to go to school and all because we got rid of that witchcraft, though. Now, you see, these things are real. And they are unclean spirits out there. You'd be surprised where you can find some of them. But you have to be right and a child of God in order to see and to understand and to recognize them. And then most especially to take care of them, because sometimes they can get after you and they can get rough if you're not spiritually strong enough to handle them. Now, 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. 16, for he, as yet, he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, these that are telling you that when you are baptized at that same time, you automatically receive the Holy Spirit. That's not true. It can be, and it will happen sometimes. But that is depending on who God has called and what he is going to be using them for. Because he's the only one that can give that Holy Spirit. Now, yes, he may use you to do it. He may have you lay your hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Because he does not work the same way with everyone. Now, he will give us all his promises. He'll keep them for all of us. But we are not all brought to him in the same way. And that's because of us. Not him. That's because of us. I was a long time down the road getting to be a child of God, because I was raised in a church that did not teach anything about the Holy Spirit really at all. They didn't teach anything about the gifts, because the only thing they taught was that the gifts all died when the apostles died. So you see, things don't always work the same way. Now, we found out there in 14, that the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received word of God, and they sent it to them, Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You see, God used them and worked through them as they laid their hands on. Then they received the Holy Ghost. 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Uh-oh. Now he's wanting to buy this that comes from God. 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And we have a lot of that also going on in our churches today. 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. In other words, his heart is just not right at all. Of course, we know this is also the same one that earlier had been a messing with witchcraft. Then he became a believer. And now he's not understanding enough. And he thinks he can just buy whatever he wants. It doesn't work, no. 23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now, 24. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You see, they are preaching in a lot of places now, for places where they would never even have went before. And the people, they had nothing really to do with, like the Samaritans and the Gentiles. Now, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, rise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship. And he was returning and setting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now he's reading Isaiah. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. The Spirit's telling Philip to go there and join himself with this man. Because you see, God knows everything, and Philip is there close, and this man is in need of help. 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He's needing help and understanding. Because, you see, he's not yet right with God. And he's not really understanding what he's reading. But at least he is reading the Word of God. And that will help. Now, and it got him help. 32. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee of whom speak the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Uh-oh. And that's something else you can't get mankind to believe today. Caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You see, the Spirit carried Philip to Azotus. Think about that. He didn't need a ride or nothing else. The Spirit took him. The Spirit has the power to do what is needed for all of us. I had the Spirit to move me. I know a lot of people don't want to believe. They don't want to believe me. They tell me, oh, you're lying. No, I'm not. I was worried about my mother and dad. And at the time, I lived about 14 miles away. And I had no way of getting to Mom and Dad's house that night. There was something wrong with my car. I don't remember now what it was. But anyway, I didn't have any way of getting there. And I was sitting there, and I was reading my Bible and all that I was worried about. Mom and Dad, I hadn't heard from them for several days. And the next thing you know, the Spirit had picked me up and moved me to my mother and dad's house. I was sitting in a chair in the living room of their home, watching them get around, and I seen that they was all right. Nothing wrong or anything. They were fine. The spirit picked me up and took me back home. Think about this. Because you see, you are a spirit. And the spirit can do mighty and great things with you and for you. But you have got to be that born-again child of the living God. And you've got to be one that is seeking the things of God in order to receive. Because he's not going to force anything on you. He has gave us his promise. He's gave us his word for us to learn by and for us to know what his promises are. And if we will do what we are told to do in his word, and we will stand on his promises, it is amazing the things God will do for you and I. Think about that. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 8. So we will stop there for this morning. God willing, I don't know where we'll pick up this evening, whether it'll be chapter 9 or whether you'll give us something else. Because you see, through the day, as I prayed with him and talked with him, sometimes he changes things on you. That's the reason you hear me say whatever God wants. His will. His will. And if he's willing, if it's his will, we'll be back in chapter 9. But if it's not, we'll be back wherever he gives. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, Father, I pray for all of those that listen to our study and take part with it, and all that is seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of my heart, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie, James Taylor, Sue Branson, Daryl and Debbie, my wife, myself, Courtney and Shane, your Ellis, Father, these all, Father, I pray, will grow closer to the Lord and that they'll be kept through this day in health and in safety. And Father, bring us all back together again this evening and back into your word at 6 p.m. Father, also, I pray for Israel, just as your word tells us to do, to pray for peace for them. Well, Father, we know they're not having peace But even more than that, Father, I pray that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And that they all come away from the Mosaic law and move to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, this land of ours, filled with evil, because of the evil ones we have in our devil, has brought so much evil upon this land and have taken so much good from it. And it's out hurting our children. Father, I pray that they be removed from office and be replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that belong to you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves your church and your people, and love this land. Now, Father, I pray that they'll work with us to bring this land to repentance, and that our weak churches also, Father, pray for them, that they'll see the error of their ways and see that they need to repent and get back into the truth of your word, teaching that. And Father, I pray that those in the office as our leaders will work with us to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us all as we go through this day. Keep us safe, Father. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great one.